Taking his life. Hello, hello, everybody. We're back, aren't we?
I suppose we are, yes.
We are
We are
indeed
back. And we're not
back.
alone either. We have company.
Yes, we brought company. We brought friends. Say hello,
We
Mr.
are
Panamahad.
so to speak back.
We are
As
indeed
so to speak,
back,
indeed.
so to speak.
Yes, it's good to be back.
How's the weather where you are, Mr. Hats? We can get two weather reports in for people.
As it turns out, it is a lovely evening here in Wales, which is a rare thing. Still blue, still clear. You can see for miles. You can see all the mountains and coal mines and things, all the
Ah,
remains
fair
of the
enough.
coal
Yes.
mines. So other than the fact that we didn't have any water today, because somebody drove a plow over the water main apparently,
That's
and there
just
was a
very Wales,
Yeah,
that
that's
though.
very
It is.
Wales.
It is.
Going, you've ridden a bloody plough over the water
Or
main.
bloody die plow has gone over the main, man. Yes, and there was a 50-foot geyser of water spraying up that you could see from quite a far distance till about midday, and then they managed to get it under control. So we now have water again.
That's good, yes.
Yeah, there was a very tense moment where the entire town realized that they had one flush of their toilets
Yes.
Oh no. It's
left
the
before
one flush moment.
choose carefully.
It starts with one flush.
Yes,
Sorry.
I'm afraid that the weather in Northland is a touch dire. There's not really much to speak of.
No, I'm afraid the weather is not the best here at the moment. But we're not here to talk about the weather purely. We're here to talk about smoking and
Yes.
the power of smoking. We are unfortunately not smoking during this stream, but I believe I heard you light something there, Mr. Had. I believe you're smoking
Yes.
some form of pipe.
I'm smoking a very stubborn bowl of Sutliff creme brulee in a small
Ooh.
Peterson pipe. And it is very good, but as I say, it's rather stubborn because even though I've had it for a year and a half at this point, I've kept it well stocked away, well sealed away in a jar. So it's still, sopping wet as Sutliff tobacco tends to be. So so it does take quite a bit of fire to get smoking, but yes.
Ooh, nice to hear that. The geezer in chat says I got some S Gowan 1792 flake in my pipe.
Samuel Gawith, I
Somebody
think.
Gowat, sorry.
Yes.
I'm so dyslexic. Samuel Gowat, 1792, not 1972.
Yes,
Ah, the
I have to admit,
dyslexia strikes again.
I have been neglecting my pipe as of late, but I've just sort of made a bit of a habit of having a kind of Friday cigar, and that
I
has
was going to say,
satiated.
I've been seeing your cigar posts.
Yes, I've managed to sort of find my way into what I think is like to sort of top five reasonably priced cigars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sort of I don't know if you've tried any of the new Drew Estate shades at all.
Yes, because there is sort of an art to making cigar smoking affordable in the UK.
Yes.
And yes, so I do tend to snap those up whenever the local tobacconist has them.
Yes, those are very much a recent favourite of mine. Is it the Casa Torrents as well? The Miami version of that. It's not a bad shout. And then, of course, the ones that you and AA got us into was the Brick Houses. I think those are amazing value because you get the little short torpedo ones for about like
Yeah.
£18, and it's still like a good hour and 20 minute smoke.
And you also get the great big
Oh
stonkers,
yes.
which is still pretty cheap. I haven't bought one for a bit, so I don't remember, but they're still pretty cheap.
Well, I think we got the sampler pack of four of them, all the different Mighty Mighty ones. And obviously the whole time having them, I'm thinking of Mighty Mighty Michael Van Gerwen, but
It's too much.
two streams in 2 days with two Darts
Yeah.
references. But I'm getting bad.
If you'd like to help us Oh,
I
sorry.
take it you're still smoking the Rollies as well.
Oh, of course. I have to admit,
There you
I've had to go aft the drum It's getting too expensive.
No drum.
Unless you want to go onto the Ko-Fi and give me exactly like £24.50 or something for a 30 gram of drum.
Yeah, how much drum costs now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got ridiculous. But yeah,
I thought the whole point was it was like, you know, it was the working man's smoke.
No,
sort of
drum.
Like,
drum's quite a premium tobacco, so I'm now on like the Polish 50 gram amber leaf for about £18.
Yeah, I'm afraid the grey market is where everyone has to go in most of England at the moment. And speaking of, yes, if you'd like to help us with our tobacco habits, and we'll get into why we smoke and we will do a little bit of foundations of smoking stuff as well, don't worry. If you want to help support us, Coney Current Years just put a super chat in, but yes, there are super chats, super stickers and all that stuff. But if you don't want to pay the YouTube tax, you can support us through the Ko-Fi. If you'd rather have some written content or you want these as ad-free audio podcast, you can support us over on the Anti-Politics Substack. I just put out a big piece over there called The Sea of Worry, which people seem to have rather liked. So, yes, that is our kind of shilling out of the way, but there has been quite a big story in the UK.
Yes.
We'll not get into that quite yet. I thought it was really funny that I've used the Swindon advertiser. Swindon reacts to plans for...
Swindon reacts is like a... Is that Lotus Eater's next brand? Swindon Reacts.
Swindon Reacts is the secret active club.
Do you remember that channel from about 10 years ago that used to do like old people react?
Yes.
Kids react.
Oh, God, yeah. Swindon Reacts. But thank you for the £2 there, Current Year. Current Year says, Happy St. George's Day, everyone. Well, time to enjoy a point. Oh, I was going to sneeze then.
Yes, happy St. George's Day.
Yes, happy St. George's Day, everybody. We put out a nice St. George's Day post for everybody, but we thought we'd do a nice stream about smoking, which is a quintessentially kind of European and English habit.
I have a question about this straight away. How are they going to adjust the whole, like, Think 25 thing? Are they going to have it, you know, like, let's say... The year is 2069, and a 70-year-old goes for a packet of fags, and the guy behind him also wants 20 Bensons and Hedges, but he was born in 2009, and he's, you know...
The implication is that then when these people hit smoking age, they're just going to ban tobacco anyway. I believe this is an intermediate step.
This is where I was going to get. I thought for a second we might play with the absurdity of... like 19-year-old shop assistants like corner shops having to discern whether, you know, by 2069 if someone is 60 or 59 or whatever as to whether or not they can sell them fags. It's a bit of a hard guess that I think.
Well, I think it's very hard.
I have two thoughts on this. One is it's just yet another domino being set up for digital ID or some form of, you know, national ID where... when you buy any kind of tobacco or alcohol product or, you know, a fucking Kinder Egg or a Red Bull or, you know, whatever, because, you know, we have to have ID for those as well, you'll just be asked to show ID on demand. Like, regardless of how old you look, you'll just be asked to bring out your Blair ID.
Well, they'll stop crime by demanding you see the digital ID before you come into the shop.
Yeah, you'll have to scan it on the way in, and it'll scan on the way out. And then if you've got any items that you're not allowed to buy, they'll be on what?
That's probably true.
Very Amazon future.
The other thing, this is slightly more white-pilled, and I was thinking this, but something that tipped me off to it a bit further was something I saw in a paper in a shop, which is that apparently... all of the Tory higher-ups in the party, I mean, almost to a man or to a sort of, you know, unappealing woman, they all voted against it. So a large mass of the Tory party voted for it, but almost all of Sunak's kind of deputies voted against it. So I do wonder if this will go the way of the Jacinda Ardern thing in New Zealand, where this kind of got rushed in for whatever reason, and it's something that's designed to fail. It's something that is designed to get repealed later
probably.
As part of a populist thing. I mean, it depends how deep the kayfabe really goes, because it could be that this is literally setting up Labour's like populist re-entry where they, you know, where they make smoking legal again for people born after 2009.
Starmer makes it legal to smoke in pubs again, I'm getting my jack boots on. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised because they are obviously a very technocratic party. This is the sort of thing they would love to support, I'm sure. But it could also just be kayfabe. I mean, it could also be a future Tory plan. Like, the idea is that they're deliberately making things worse. They can come in and, like, you know, superficially make things slightly better in 13 years when Labour gets clapped out, you know? I don't know.
Possibly. It does feel like something they don't particularly heavily... It's just to have a policy, it seems like.
Yeah.
And that was the kind of thing in New Zealand. It's just to have a progressive policy, in quotes. And it's weird, it's coming... It's really kind of naked technocrat confluence. It's coming from Sunak and the Conservative Party, basically. Because Jacinda Ardern, it was sold as like a loony lefties thing.
No, no, no. I think they're entirely doing this to fuck with Peter Hitchens. They're going to get rid of tobacco, they're going to make weed legal, and he's going to lose his mind. He's, why have they done this?
Well, he's massively in favour of this, isn't he?
Yes. Well,
I mean, I've never seen a man take so many L's in like 6 hours. It was insane because not only was he there going, no, no, smoking killed my brother. I don't, I've got to stop smoking cigarettes. You know, I support the state banning this. And then somebody said kind of whimsically, oh, Peter, you know, what about the kind of, you know, good old English, you know, hobbit folk? You know, aren't they allowed to have a pipe by the fire? And he went, the worst thing in Lord of the Rings is all the pipe smoking, other than the Tom Bombadil. And of course, then it was just over. I mean, that was the end of his career among young dissident writers.
I think he must have cottoned on to the fact that the halfling's leaf isn't necessarily tobacco, which is one of the funnier things about Lord of the Rings, especially considering that Tom Bombadil is basically some sort of like weed elf.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. It's very hard for me to imagine Middle Earth cloaked in the odor of marijuana. I don't know.
It's that's what the Shire smells like. It smells like really good chronic.
No, they're all just smoking crack. the hobbits are all just
it's
crack.
My hobbit crack pies.
No, it's bad times have befallen upon the Shire, and they've got to go back to spice.
There's Shire spice zombies. Yeah. The spicing of the Shire.
Frodo's shooting needles in his room again, Bilbo.
He's a young rich bachelor. Wait, let's have a look at here.
It's such a simple question. Why do they hate us? Why do they hate all the things that we enjoy? There's nothing more simpler in my life.
Yes.
I go to the pub. I get my nice crispy pint. I stand out at the back. Pull out my tin. Fold up a skin.
Yeah.
Stick a filter in it. Nice little strip of rich brown tobacco. Stick it in my gub. Spark it and have a sup of my pint. And it's bliss. What more could an individual really want at the end of the day? And they hate you for doing so.
Think of the NHS. You're going to get lung cancer, and we're going to have to pay $5 million to you know, treat you. that's normally the argument. That's normally it.
Apparently, since we've been doing this since like 2021, we're apparently accidentally cool now.
Yes.
Like, it's one of the things that's because smoking has become so, like, stigmatized by the really boring parts of the state, it's really cool. And it's especially cool to smoke pipes and cigars again. And not just, people talk about being an Andrew Tate thing, but that's stupid.
Oh, that's gay.
No, it's not Andrew Tate.
It's not Andrew. People don't even remember who Andrew Tate is anymore.
I played a part in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we had some influence. However, the one that got me the other day was the video of bloody Lawrence Fox and the father Calvin Robinson sitting smoking big bloody stogies, but they just look like utter wankers.
Down. They do look like utter wankers, down. You are correct.
They did look like they were taking other conical shaped objects in their mouths when they did it. You know, they look bad. But yeah, I noticed that, yeah, there's been a bunch of articles about how Gen Z likes cigars and pipes now. I mean, So I have a friend who is convinced that it's because anybody who grew up older than Zoomers remembers Jimmy Savile and how he always had a cigar, and he said that like killed cigars as a cool object for about 20 years, but they've come back now because the Zoomers don't really know who Jimmy Savile is.
Oh God, yeah, Jimmy Savile, the Jimmy Savile cigar thing was was quite the trip.
Well, he was the only public sort of smoker of cigars, you know, since Churchill, basically, wasn't he?
I mean, I do wonder if part of this is also maybe like a class thing, that people are just a bit more slightly hard done by these days, and some of the substances they may or may have not considered on a night out before are not as available and not as affordable as they used to.
I think it's, if you're going to smoke, you might as well have a fancy smoke because it costs a fucking fortune anyway. I think that's kind of the point of it, is that smoking has become such a luxury that higher end smoking has become a lot more fashionable. And you're right, it's almost a way of signaling rebellion now.
Yeah.
In a little bit, just because tobacco is so demonized in the culture. There's nobody more visible, maybe apart from the drink driver, the proud drink driver. The smoker is the most hated. It is that the British state really portrays the smoker like the paedophile, especially like the secondhand smoke stuff. Ooh, they're arming kids because they're selfish. There was really aggressive stuff in the mid-2000s about that, I remember. It was egregious.
No, I can remember all this. You've got, like, the adverts. Like, there'll be some mother smoking out the front door of her house with her baby there, and they'll, like, flash cut to, like, the baby being, like, an old person dying or some shit. That's just awful.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about pipe smoking here, then?
Cigars are often seen as a bit of a bygone habit of a bygone era, associated with elder statesmen such as Winston Churchill.
Boo.
Another man who ruined cigars.
Yes. A glamour of early Hollywood stars. But new research shows they are staging a resurgence as generations increasingly opt to smoke tobacco in cigars and even pipes rather than cigarettes. And adults have driven a fivefold increase in non-cigarette tobacco smoking over the past decade. Some 772,800 people exclusively smoked cigars or pipes in England in September 2023, up from 151,000 in September 2013.
That's a big increase.
That's a massive increase.
I had no idea it was. I mean, I assumed it was like, you know, a few percent more.
That's significant. I'm going to have to deliver a black pill, though.
Yeah.
A large part of this will just be like packies buying like blunt wraps and tobacco pipes.
Partially.
A lot of that's going to be stoners as well buying Hamlets.
That's what I mean, like blunt wraps and things like that.
Oh, so many deaths. Ooh, what's I have to say about pipes in here? Where's my pipe stuff? There you go. Actually, how many stuff? Yeah. Oh, it's
just lumping.
Yeah, they're lumping
cigars
them together.
Or pipes or shisha.
Yeah, yeah. I guess shisha's kind of a thing now. Like shisha bars are kind of popular.
I don't know if you could accurately measure that though. Could you?
No.
Also, in order to circumvent the rules, a lot of those shisha bars in Muslim areas don't use real tobacco. It's fake shisha.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you wouldn't be able to do it inside. So it's purely for effect. You're basically it's one massive, like, you know, stage pantomime smoke machine. There's not any actual tobacco or any good. It's all just like, you know, smelly smoke that smells of, you know, raspberry or something. So it's basically vaping.
How awful.
Without the nicotine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Incredibly gay.
They are very gay.
Yeah.
I also noticed when I briefly worked for a tobacconist that there was a lot, there was a lot of like young British men who were coming in to buy a cigar because they'd never tried one and they wanted to see what it was like. And I think there's a lot of men that actually smoke cigars and pipes just purely in their private time. Like they don't do it socially. No one really knows about it. They just occasionally buy a cigar or some pipe tobacco to kind of, you know, sit and relax or something.
Yes.
It's become a bit of an underground thing. But there were also a lot of young Arabs buying dhoka. Which is like a tobacco you smoke in a little pipe.
Yes.
So there's probably that, as you say, putting the sales up.
I was going to say, I get the feel sometimes when I'm smoking a cigar in the pub that other people look at you, not so much saying like, oh, I couldn't do that because it would make me feel sick or anything like that, but more so that you wouldn't want to do it because you would feel self-conscious.
It is kind of like a confidence thing.
It's being too visible. Because I have to admit, as much as it's not, you know, you can't smoke in pubs anymore and blah, blah, blah. Mm. I kind of enjoy the fact that it's a bit of a ritual, though. You've got to find the time to do it. You've got to find the conditions that are right. You know, you get a fresh drink. You make sure you've been to the loo. You make sure you're comfortable. And then proceed.
you hold on to that moment to light up.
Yes.
A couple of quick donations here. Okay, a few donations. I should get through some of these. Our tobacco company's not lobbying against this. Yasin Boku... I can't say that. But yeah, I think tobacco companies have mostly been put in the pocket, especially with vape stuff and some illegal weed stuff.
Yeah.
The big American tobacco companies are not the forces they used to be, and they have quite diversified businesses. So quite honestly, big tobacco has been one of the biggest pushes for making a lot of tobacco smoking worse, because they've been given sweetheart deals in many cases.
But you've also got to remember, and it's something we'll get to in a little bit, that we aren't necessarily the biggest market for cigarettes in the
world. No. We'll get into that too. In the past 30 years, there's been a war on tobacco, when it's been found that it's all the added chemicals in cigarettes that cause cancer, not tobacco itself. Yeah, we talked about a little bit of that off air, and we'll get into that a smidge about tobacco as an industry and about the idea of kind of the revolution of mass and scale in tobacco. The analogy we made, and I'll make it here, is it's like hating the entire chemical industry because of Bayer and people like that, and all the shady chemical people. Tobacco has a much longer history than simply, you know, cigarettes.
Yes.
Hat, are you a daily pipe smoker? Or...
Yeah, and if so, what kind of blend?
Yes.
For all intents and purposes, yes. Mainly because it's a lot cheaper in the long run than cigars. And, you know, you can kind of stock up on pipe tobacco, and it's easy to keep, and you can just bring it out in small amounts. So, yes, normally. As for a daily blend, no. I tend to vary quite a lot. I have a big stock of Sutliff Creme Brulee that I bought I bought several pounds of it 10 years ago. And got it in some huge jars. So sometimes I dip into that, but it's whatever I happen to have around. I like to try new things if I haven't tried them before, if I see them, so... Occasionally there'll be a Peterson blend or something I haven't tried before. I might get that, or it might be something, you know, that you have to get in a, you know, bagged from a local tobacconist that comes in the big tins. I do quite like American tobaccos that you have to import. I quite like Seattle Pipe Club's Plum Pudding, which is, that's very popular in America anyway. So, I mean, I'm sure that any Americans who pipe smokers have probably tried that. Doesn't actually taste like plums at all. It's just a really nice kind of mellow, Latakia heavy pipe tobacco. I've talked previously about how much I like Presbyterian mixture, which
Presbyterian,
which is hard to get here. But you don't have to import it from America. You can get it in Europe. Half and half is good. I mean, yeah, they actually answer the question. No, there isn't a daily blend. I smoke whatever I've got.
Yeah, anything Peterson is always a good shout.
Peterson are very solid.
Think of the $2, Professor Dover. Yes, secondhand smoke is complete fabrication. And Poopy Doopy 546 says, "All right, mate, 50 gram GB smooth plate. Cheers, lad. Smooth please, cheers, lad. Your eat pal.
Neighbor here.
But there's another article here from The Independent saying that smoking is back in fashion for Gen Z. We went over that part. And a Rishi Sunak ban could make it even cooler. do you think it will have a big, for want of a better term, cooling effect on smoking?
Yeah, everything's kayfabe. Everything's wrestling.
Yeah. It's very... I think your theory might be right about giving it back at some point.
Yeah, put taxes up on cigarettes to record levels, then make people think they're going to go away. Seems like a decent strategy to me.
I'd also just like to bring up quickly that, I mean, I'm not really an expert because I've never really been into cigarettes that much, but cigarettes that are mass produced that you get in the UK now are dreadful. I mean, they're bad cigarettes, the sort of mass produced machine rolled ones. They're not particularly pleasant to smoke, and I really caught the difference when I was in Italy recently. They've got these wonderful cigarette vending machines everywhere, which is great. So I went, and you know, they cost like €4 a pack or something. So I went and bought, and there's, of course, it's full of English blends that you can't get in England anymore. You know, Camel, Chesterfield, Parliament, Winston's, Marlborough. I mean, just all these wonderful blends that still have the original logos and everything. So I bought a load of these and smoked them quite heartily all through the trip. And I mean, The Camel especially is fantastic because it's still got proper Turkish tobacco, whereas most of what you get in the UK is really cheap Virginia stuff that is not grown with much care. I mean, that is not a slight against Virginia tobacco as a blend, by the way, but we get really shoddy mass-produced Virginia tobacco in all of our cigarettes, which I think is one of the regulation laws kind of basically designed to make the habit less appealing.
Yes.
It also stems from the fact that right after the war, America basically passed a law by fiat, which basically banned anybody importing Turkish tobacco. If you were in NATO, you were forced to have American Virginia tobacco in everything. You could no longer get Turkish. You know, evil Yanks.
No, I was going to say that there are some cigarettes out there that are all right, but as you've got to be very careful these days.
A Frozen, I think, donated £2 there and asked if vapes are gay. This is our thought on vapes.
Smoke a reel fag, you fanny.
We'll get that back up there again.
Smoke a reel fag, you fanny.
Is that going to play the audio through?
Yeah, it's going to play the audio through the stream. It's fine.
That's a bit of Hardy Bucks posting for those who know.
A little bit of the old ye olde Hardy Bucks posting there. One more time.
Smoke a reel fag, you fanny.
Smoke a real fat, you fanny.
Vaping is gay, and I would rather that you smoke pretty much any form of tobacco other than a fucking vape.
Everyone should smoke roll-ups, I think. I think roll-ups are the best.
But it is nice that the pipe smoking has come back.
Yes.
if you smoke a vape and you're listening to this stream, just kill yourself.
Just hard, fucking, hard but fair words there from Mr. Hat.
I heartily endorse this message.
Total TVD. Yes, can we get some TVDs in the chat, please? Total vape death.
I mean, I've complained about it before, but I'm going to get up my soapbox and play about it again. I absolutely hate when people have a cheeky vape inside the pub, as if they think like no one's going to notice. It all stinks of fucking strawberries and toffee and whatever other shit's in there.
Steamy, liquid, like, plastic.
I'll honestly, I'll even say it to folk. But well, I can't really sit there and have a cheeky fucking cigarette, can I?
you hate to see it. But that's the stigma. That's the stigma with smoking. Rather than, it's not really about tobacco or nicotine. It's just about like weird smoking propaganda.
Mm.
For those of you who don't know, tobacco was introduced into England possibly as early as the 1860s, but the definitive date is 1856 with Sir Walter Raleigh. Returning with the colonists from, where was that again? It's the Virginia colonists, anyway. And he came back with potatoes, he came back with corn, and he came back with tobacco from the New World. But that's how long tobacco has been in Britain. And again, possibly even longer, but it is definitely more than 400 years, which gives it a huge, huge place as really kind of an English and European. Because a lot of the tobacco, even though it was smoked a little bit by the natives, the modern varieties, all modern varieties of tobacco, like all modern varieties of vegetables or kind of produce plants in general, are Western created and derived. Mm. And things like cigars were not made up by the natives. No. A cigar is an invention of Europe, really. And it is something tailored to European tastes. So smoking is really part of our culture. It is. It's a huge part of European culture at this point. And it's attempted removal from public life, as you talked about a little bit off air as well. It's almost like all the ceremony associated with it has gone away.
Yes, it's not a social ritual anymore, never mind something that could almost even be considered part of something spiritual. I mean, Sir Walter Raleigh, as prompted as the man who brought it here, was not a man who didn't see the esoteric side in things.
No.
To burn something, and furthermore to consume the smoke of it, is is almost one of your sort of prime elements of some kind of ritual. It's a whole sort of transubstantiation or something of the material you're actually smoking, and the effect it has upon you then latterly is some sort of evidence of its divinity. But no, we can't have that anymore.
Well, that's why, because it's robbing you of a vital pastime, which this is the thing, they love to promote like shitty IPAs and like weed and crap drugs that sort of slow you down, but they want you off of something like tobacco and like, you know, especially cigarettes, which sharpen you up with that big nicotine hit.
Yeah, it is. It's really
they love the docility.
Well, the big thing is that cigarettes were an integral part of World War II rations.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a World War II pack of Lucky Strikes from a K-ration, I believe.
Bet those taste lovely.
And,
really, really good fine tobacco in those.
Well,
just on the point of Sir Walter Raleigh, when he came back from the New World with tobacco, he was sat, wherever it was he sat, with his great long pipe smoking. And his servant came running around the corner with a bucket of water and threw it all over him because he thought he was on fire.
Yes.
See the smoke rising up.
Yeah. Well, that's the folk tale. A lot of actually people will come out and tell you that isn't real, but those people can shut up.
We all know what we think of them. especially on St. George's Day.
Especially on St. George's Day, yes. This is the famous Flemish painting, The Smokers, just on the screen, by the way.
Yes. Very, and of course you notice the clay pipes there.
Yes.
Which were actually, they often belonged to the tavern, and they would be kept in a big metal tray, which would be placed into the fire, which is how they cleaned them between uses. They would put them in the fire, and of course it would get hot enough that it would supposedly kill any bacteria. Not that they, would have known that process.
They just cleaned them. You know what? If it's been in the fire for a fucking hour, fair enough, mate.
It was clean.
Easiest way to get all the tar out of them.
Yeah, just burn it all away as well.
Thomas Carlyle was a great smoker of clay pipes. He was often seen with a big clay pipe. There's one of his archived papers that survives, I've seen, is a letter he wrote to a pipe supplier up in Scotland. Because he obviously, as a young man living up in the lowlands, he had found a particular firm of clay pipe makers near him, and he always went to them for pipes. And he was staying in northern France sometime in the 1860s, I think. And he'd sent back for a shipment. And it goes to show how awful the modern Royal Mail is when, in the age of basic steam trains and horses, he could send a letter up to Scotland and have a fresh box of clay pipes dispatched within 3 days.
Yes, that's quite the service. I'd be happy with that.
though unfortunately, they did arrive battered in transport and cracked and broken. So he did send a letter basically saying, I'm not paying. Go fuck yourself. I'm not using these.
I bet you they weren't at least delivered by an Albanian.
That's true.
on a small motorcycle, yes.
Yeah, at 3 in the morning.
Yeah. I've just got some early art depicting smoking here, although there's some controversy whether or not some of these might also depict certain hash smoking, but no one's actually quite sure. So, because there wasn't actually in those days much differentiation. It depended on what your local suppliers had. It depended on what you were actually smoking.
Yep.
So the early history of smoking and the early history of schmucking de herb are actually very well intertwined, but that's a different one. Especially in certain parts of continental Europe, Holland, which is true, it is. They were quite big on their herb.
But yeah, just we can all come to the fact that smoking's just cool.
Smoking, I'll tell you what, I'll put this on first.
That's a good
one. An important message.
Do you know that 100% of non-smokers fucking die?
Good old Bernard Manning.
Yeah.
There's a fuller section to that where he talks in detail for maybe a minute or two while smoking a cigarette, just about how that's like the crux of life. It's almost like his version of that whole T.S. Eliot thing about a cigarette being the perfect complement to human desire, because as soon as you finish one, you want to have another.
There's the whole thing. We're kind of getting here from into the modern history of cigarettes a little bit. We're not going to go over too much of it, but with the machine-manufactured cigarette and its real explosion in the 1910s, right through into the 20s and into the 30s, obviously the 30s being the era of female smoking and the marketing of that, it's often put forward as one of the ills of marketing. But the problem was that tobacco advertisement and culture, as it were, was just so cool.
Marlboro. Yeah. Branded race cars.
It was really good, I'm going to be marketed to. I'm going to be marketed to by a cigarette company because that shit's cool as fuck.
I kind of hate to sound like such a consumer, but nah. I genuinely, it's like when I look at those old adverts, I just think it would have been an honor to be marketed to. They just make it so glorious.
to be marketed to as if you were understood.
Well, it's all very, come on, you want a cigarette?
Don't you want to be cool like everyone else? But it just had such it's such prestige and such cachet, you know. Oh, Embassy sponsors the, you know, World Snooker Championships, and Rothmans and Porsche do all this racing stuff, and they're sponsoring all these adventure sort of tours, and, you know...
Happiness is a cigar called Hamlet.
Exactly. I mean,
if I send you the reel, sorry, would you be able to play it at all? There's a couple of really good...
Yes, if you send it to us on the Discord we're in, I think.
Well, yeah, I should be able to play that, yes.
So we'll get it up.
Just play a reel, just so people know how amazing these things are.
I'd say a cigarette pairs well with legs. We know this. You have proof of this. That's slightly... I'm not 100% sure about that one.
Excuse me, that's just Germanic women for you, John.
That's a little bit again, the 30s were a bit tomboyish, weren't they? I'm not sure about you 30s, you're a bit dirty. Oh, that's very Screen Siren though, that's very film noir.
It's the it's the classic femme fatale with the cigarette, yes, and the long holder, you know.
I believe this is what the people online call goals.
There we go. What do you think of that?
Oh, the vertical holder.
The saxophone holder.
I've never seen one of those before.
That's kind of cool.
That is quite exotic, isn't it?
I saw that one and I had to put it on.
What annoys me, though, nowadays is all cigarette holders are made for pre-made cigarettes.
Mm.
Yeah, so you can't get ones for... like rollies unless you use like the massive filters, which then make them like awful.
Snus
is the one that goes up your nose, Hank.
Vaping?
Snuff,
yeah. Sorry. Yeah, snus goes in your...
Snus is the little pouch that you put in your gum.
Packing some furious dip.
A dip. Oh my god. Fucking Bubba used to... I'm taking my dip. I used to know someone called Bubba who had dip. Snus isn't gay, but it is genuinely very bad for your mouth. So
yeah, it's also got the nicotine equivalent of like eight cigarettes.
Yeah,
It's a bit much in one go. I do think that snuff should make a comeback. You know, if Zoomers are going to get into pipes and cigars,
wasn't that what these like Zen capsule things or something are meant to kind of be?
Kinda.
Those have had a comeback because lots of Brits like to smoke, but of course with the smoking ban, you know, if you're a long shift at work, so they just put a snus capsule in their mouth to get the nicotine hit while they're at work.
So it's basically snus then. Yeah.
I would also like to point out that snuff actually isn't taxed at all.
No.
Or essentially nil. So you can get like 6 months worth of snuff for about 10 quid. it's very cost effective as a source of
nicotine,
source of tobacco.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's good to know. Your pro tip here. Your pro tip. thoughts on cigarillos, Professor Dover? Again, thank you.
I don't know. They're like a sort of weird in between. Some of the flavored ones can be all right.
Like the flavored cigarillos.
I know, but then at that point, I'm like, well, why not just buy a small pack of Principes or some of the little like coffee and maple syrup tobaccos or something.
Cigarillos, I think you're better stretching to a small cigar.
Yes.
That's my thought. What do you think, Mr. Head?
I like cigarillos, partly because they're cheap, partly because they're kind of, they're like the quicker alternative to the cigar. You know, it's like a quicker, more active kind of smoke. I quite like a cigarillo if I ever go for a walk, just to take with me. Because they're quite good, and you can get really sort of like high end ones as well that are basically, you know, like so they're sort of like just small Monte Cristos or Invictus. No, they're perfect. I mean, it's just a cigar but smaller. You know, it's all good to me.
That's pretty good. Lewis Shaw Moffat says Hobgoblin stouts or Leffe and a cigar simple as. I'd agree with you. Thank you, Lewis, for the £10. He says, Ooga Booga over on Ko-Fi.
Well, and Ooga Booga to you too. And it's no good.
Yes. Ooga Booga's all round.
Poopy Doobie says, it's toasted. And yes, it was indeed toasted.
isn't that what they come up with on Mad Men? where they're like, we need a new angle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cigarettes, and they're like, we'll just say it's toasted.
Well, that was a real advert campaign.
Right. There was someone in chat, Evelyn is Germanic, confirmed. Excuse me, that's Norman to you.
That's Norman to you. But have I even got, I don't know if I've even got the cigarette adverts up right now, but they are over there in Yoldi Dream Resort. I'll quickly see. I have not put this on screen yet, have I? I posted
the YouTube link in general.
There it is.
Yes, there's a link in general as well for the advert that Hart was talking
about. Oh, yes, of course. I'll put that up in a second. But here's the It's Toasted one.
Yes.
I love it.
It's a lucky strike.
I like that they never actually specify what difference it makes. Because I don't think it actually has any effect whatsoever. It's just purely a marketing gimmick.
Let me quickly have a look. Is this like a vintage? Ooh, we'll see what can get away with here. I'll keep it picture in picture, but
I don't think any of these would be copyrighted now.
We'll see.
It's more just playing it through YouTube anyway.
Oh, yeah,
all right. I think he's playing film.
Well, Skim is in the Costello mode today.
Oh, pocket money?
Certainly.
For tomorrow again? Keep it. Have a good time, son.
There's nothing like a Costello when you're in the right mood. So cool, calm, and generous.
Guess what? Mum's coming to stay.
Fine, lovely.
For a month?
Great.
Are you in a Costello mood tonight?
How much better was it when you... When you used to get a 10, that's one of the things I think, yeah. I feel like I've missed out on some regards. Is fair enough, when you buy pipe tobacco, you get a 10, and I always find another purpose for those, but I...
So useful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
I wish if, you know, I bought, say, two or three sort of decent-sized Robusto cigars, that I might get some sort of 10 with them as a sort of complimentary item. Oh, there we go.
There's a good image.
There we go.
Now that's what I call a Friday night.
Well, this is what you'll be joining us for in a few weeks' time when you come to visit.
I cannot wait. I will make sure to bring many cigars.
And here's Evelyn's pipe, of course.
Yes, with my, of course, fitting and matching nail polish.
And Theakston's.
And Theakston's, of course. Don't forget the Theakston's. Was this taken in a Wetherspoons?
No, this was taken in the pub.
This was taken in pub.
Yeah. In pub.
I was going to say, because it's got those pub ashtrays that you see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're every... Well, there was a variety of different ashtray types at one point where we were.
Yes. It's our local pub is a pub full of a lot of quite heavy smokers. So yes. they become like a sort of...
Look how full that ashtray is behind the feast.
Yeah, it's a proper northern pub. People
that's probably
smoke.
Like an hour or two's worth, though.
Most people will cycle in and out the pub and smoke.
Oh, yes. Yeah, unlike me, of course, where I just hang out there all the time.
You do kind of just sit in the smoking area sometimes, yes. She do be... Ooh, look at that. Ooh, we can
see... I tell
you
what, my new bloody... takes a good picture, doesn't it?
I was going to say, that's crisp. Also, look at the cream on the Theakston.
Oh, yeah. Look at
look at that.
It's real tasteful.
Full of iron, full of vitamins.
Oh, that's a good pint, that is. Look at that pint, guys. Look at it. That's great.
Expert.
Drink. Oh, I'm going to take that off screen. That's pornographic.
I'm going to sit here drooling for the next
cool.
But yes. I'd be tempted to get back to the subject we were kind of talking about at the start a little bit, seeing as we've got the picture again of the shades up there. What do you recommend for New World cigars? I mean, we all know about Cubans. Ooh. Oh, do you want an Upman or a Romeo and Julieta or a Cubanos or something like that? And don't get me wrong, these are all very fine cigars, but we can't sometimes all afford 40 or 50 quid a pop.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I've found anywhere between 18, maybe stretch to 25 is like the absolute kind of sweet spot. I think someone was asking in chat what pipe I have.
Yes.
I believe it's just a cheap, or not cheap, but one of the cheaper Falcon Briar pipes.
You can see that's the Falcon head there, yes.
Yeah. But it's a nice redwood one. It's a nice starter kind of thing.
It's a good little pipe, that is. It's a good little pipe.
Good brand.
Oh, yes.
They do good pipes.
But yes, on New World Cigars, someone's saying the Olivia ones. I think I have tried those, and they're not too bad. I don't know. I just
you're all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're one of those cigars that people hype them a lot. Which is not to say they're bad, but they're you know they're okay. You know they'll do, I think.
Mm.
I mean this is a pretty big topic, especially because in recent times Cuban cigars have been kind of coasting on their reputation as Cuban cigars.
Yes.
I'm not entirely sure where the whole Cuban cigars are the most premium cigars come from, where that comes from, because, well, I mean, it's just cigars from the island of Cuba.
I think that's
all it is. It doesn't actually sort of, you know, it's not necessarily a guarantee of quality.
No, not always. But I think there is like a, you know, whiskey from Scotland is a bit different from all other whiskey. There's be it the people either working with the materials or what soil they're growing them in or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There's obviously some kind of element. I mean, you know, you go to Aston's Tobacconists in Manchester and you pick out a Hoyo de Monterey Epicure number 2 or something out of there, and you stick with the fact that you know it's going to cost you like nearly 40 odd quid, but it is a crisp,
but you'll never forget
it's a lovely cigar.
Regret it either. I mean, as someone in the chat's mentioned, there's been several years of quite bad harvests in Cuba. And there's also COVID threw their supply chain into chaos, and they're still not entirely back from that. There's huge issues in the factories, not to do with actually growing and rolling the cigars, but to do with packaging them and actually moving them out of the country. That's been the big issue. They've had strikes and you know, breakdowns in the chains and so forth. And I do think that on the whole, especially when you factor in UK levels of tax, Cuban cigars have priced themselves very uncompetitively for what they are. In most cases.
Yeah.
It's not universally true. I mean, I will still stick up for Romeo and Julieta. Those are pretty much universally good. Monte Cristo tends to be very hit and miss these days. They've slipped in quality, but they've upped in price, which is unfortunate. Though I have to say, on the whole, assuming, you know, especially when you take the prices into account, I am more of a fan of New World cigars these days. Because they are actively trying more ambitious things. They are actively, they're putting more effort into ensuring that what they're sending out is quality, and they're pricing very aggressively.
Yes.
Because, of course, they have to compete with the monolith that is Cuban cigars. And to be fair, I do think that most of that is not necessarily from experienced cigar smokers. It's from people just buying Cuban cigars because they think, you know, it's like buying an Apple computer, right?
Yeah.
It's just the...
No, I mean...
It's got the name. So there's a huge amount of sort of trade that doesn't exactly, you know, they don't really know what they're buying, you know, as no first-time cigar smoker does. But yes, I think that's what's happened. But I mean, pretty much, there hasn't been a New World brand I've tried that I've thought was really terrible. On the cheapest one that you can get that's sort of a proper rolled cigar here is Invicta. Which is wonderful. I love Invicta Star. They've started doing miniatures as well, which are fantastic.
Yes, I found the half Coronas they do, the packs of five.
Yes.
Sometimes you get a pack of those, and for absolutely no reason that I can figure out myself, they're all like 40-minute cigars, even though they're only like five or six quid each. It's like, wow, what have they done with this?
An Invicta cigar has the cost of like a cheap tin of cigarillos, but will last you like an hour and a half. It's insanely well packed.
You were saying there about people who come into cigars, and I think it's just a lot of them have almost kind of too much money. I mean, I mean, it's no insult to a friend of mine, but when he got into cigars, the first thing he did was went and bought like some £45 Monte Cristo. Now he sat there and he enjoyed it, but I don't think that's really the way to go about it. You've got to think, you've got to kind of build your palate up, know what you're kind of what you're actually shooting for. And really, I think to a certain extent, you've kind of got to admit to where your range ends.
Yes.
Do you really need to be someone who's smoking like the most expensive or the most prestige cigars? Where if you actually knew what you were going for and you knew what you liked, you'd probably get something more enjoyable,
yes,
better priced, and possibly even more consistent quality. But as you say, people aren't willing to maybe experiment as much.
Yeah, I may also get flack for this, but I do think that a lot of the really big end prestige cigars are a complete meme.
Yes,
you're just being given a slightly longer Monte Cristo number 1, and you're being made to pay like 400 quid for it. I mean, that's a nonsense.
That
yeah, it's just silly. I mean, I actually I funnily enough, you mentioned Epicure number 2, which is a very, very good cigar. I mean, it's often said in sort of cigar press, there isn't really anything like it, and there isn't. It's just a fantastic Cuban cigar, which you can get in the UK quite freely. However, there is an American cigar website, which myself and friends frequent.
Yes.
Yes, I think you know the one I'm talking about. Because it's based down in the south of America, I think in either South Carolina or Mississippi, where tobacco tax is exceedingly low. And of course, because if you buy online, you are actually buying in the US technically, you basically are paying, you know, you're paying, in, because of course there's the conversion from pound to dollar, so you're paying basically nothing for what, you're paying what a cigar should cost when it's not being taxed by Babu Sunak and co. So I ordered a box of these, and I noticed they looked and were coloured and smelled quite different to the normal Epicures. But they were exceeding, they were perfect, they were fantastic. They were absolutely brilliant cigars. And it only occurred to me quite later that what I'd actually ordered was not a Cuban Hoyo de Monterrey. It was a Honduran Hoyo de Monterrey, made specially for, because of course you can't buy Cuban cigars in America. The embargo is still in effect. So, but annoyingly, I actually found the Honduran ones superior to the Cuban ones you get in the UK. So I have to go through this circuitous process to get hold of them because they only ship them to the US because their logic is, well, we need something to fill the gap, we'll make these and send them to America. But I don't think they realize other places would want them because they assume they can just buy the Cuban one.
Yes, I mean, I'm pretty sure we have got the same ones before, and I found them, I have to admit, very hit and miss. I'm not sure if maybe we just got some bad ones, but they were, I have to admit, for the price of them, I was not expecting them to be as of the same quality as the ones I buy in a local store that are the quote-unquote proper Cubans. But I don't know. Some of them were all right. Some of them were not cigars that I felt I needed to smoke. Let's put it that way.
Well, the other aspect is that smoking is, of course, based.
Yes.
It just is.
The more you smoke, the more based you are.
Yes. That's the rules of being based. Do you think pipes at the top of the hierarchy then? Would you consider pipe the ultimate form of smoking?
Or... No, I think cigars are the ultimate.
The Orantine cigar.
That's a difficult question because I mean, pipes and cigars are both very pure.
Yeah,
you know, you're just taking in tobacco in other tobacco. I think pipe is like the trad supreme method.
Yes,
and cigars are like the more modern. You know, like there's some. I think a pipe is quite gentlemanly and quite friendly. There's something so in your face about a cigar, like when you see pictures of like Bertolt Brecht or Groucho Marx or something with a bit like we're just talking to people with this big cigar. There's something really kind of masculine about it. I mean, I suppose if we want to get really Freudian, you know, but you know, there's just something kind of punchy about a cigar. So I'd probably have to go with a cigar.
It's just as I was talking about earlier on. It's that hour or such out of your day, especially if it's a good one. It's the consumption of the cigar transports you to somewhere else. You aren't where you were before. The concerns that you had when you started are lingering and gone. You contemplate something, I don't know, you contemplate just things in a beautiful That's sense.
I don't like to actually do anything while I'm smoking, especially if it's a good cigar. I think of it as an activity on its own.
Yes.
Know? I mean... I also really, if I'm not in the right mood or I think I'm going to be disturbed, I just won't light. I can't do it because it would feel like a betrayal. You know, it would feel like I'm wasting a cigar when I'm just not right. And it just wouldn't, I don't know, it's like blasphemy.
Yes.
It just wouldn't be right. I just couldn't do it.
I think the only sort of really appropriate activity for cigar smoking is conversation.
Yeah.
The social aspect of it, especially when you've got multiple on the go, and it's just the aroma, even your sight is somewhat rosened by the just the smoke in the air and the amber burning off the end of them. It's it's pleasant. It's comfortable.
People like you smoking because it's a novelty as well if you're outside. Because smoking's all outside now. People don't really mind. And there's a lot of curiosity. It's a great interest. But it's basically a pipe is as well. But they're both great interest pieces, a cigar and a pipe. Especially if you're not being a complete twat about it as well.
No.
If you're being subtle with it. That's a lot better.
You can, if people react well to you smoking pipes and cigars in public with them, it means that you look good doing it normally.
Yes,
yes.
It suits you in some way. if they're coming up and calling you a twat, then you may need to rethink your image somewhat.
The only thing I want to comment on is that actually a lot of the hubbub around tobacco, especially in the West, is completely out of proportion, considering that really if we think about the height of tobacco, in quotes, in Western nations as being kind of the 40s, 50s, maybe the 60s. Whereas globally, what we've seen is that actually cigarettes and mass-produced cigarettes are just something for the third world. The third world is what smokes. Africa is who smokes. China is who smokes. India is who smokes. And why must our fine tobacco be taken away from us if some Indians smoke 100 a day? If it's a global health crisis, why is there never a global solution? Why is it not, well, we're not smoking very much. Mr. Pajit needs to go get down to 10 a day. Thank you very much. There's never that argument there for the global health crisis that is supposedly tobacco. Because most people would be very surprised by this chart, I'd say.
I just really like smoking, you know. I just love it. I mean, I going to a country where more people smoke makes me happy. Like, it just makes me happy. Like, just seeing people smoke and sitting and smoking with them and just having the smell of tobacco and just knowing that people are doing it and they're happy doing it and it's just pleasurable, it's just amazing. I mean, I have yet to actually find words for how much I adore smoking. It's just brilliant. I mean, like you say, like sitting indoors in my little, like in the area that I call the library with all the books and just nice paintings on the wall, just not doing anything, just sitting there smoking a Havana cigar, it's just amazing. There are few things in the world that are as good as that. I adore it. If I had the money, I'd probably smoke cigars incessantly. I probably would. Like, it would be insane, you know. Assuming that nothing bad was happening at the time.
There we go.
Yes, there is hat.
There's
his cigar and his little loafers and whatnot.
Yeah,
that is me.
We've got him.
That is me.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that is literally me. I don't know where you found this picture.
He's literally me.
Literally me.
It's a thingy from bloody Sopranos.
Yes.
Hey, that's me.
What the fuck? Why am I on there?
Yeah.
Tell you what, before we go, should we have one more vintage cigarette advert?
Go on.
What is this?
Happiness is a cigar called Hamlet, the mild cigar.
Yeah, I don't know. So what do we cap off here then? I don't know. Do we work our way around? What's your three favorite things about smoking?
I'll give you a second, Mr. Hack, because I don't mind straight away.
Where do I begin? I mean, just I think one would have to be, I suppose, what we could call the chemical aspect, right? Like the, you know, it's like when you taste good food or drink good wine, where there's a kind of like a literal chemical satisfaction to what you're doing, right? You're taking in this great, wonderful breath of rich plant smoke, you know, from these leaves that have been cured over so long and have been finally rolled and selected for quality. And, you know, obviously you have a reaction to it and it's just pleasurable. There is a bit of a nicotine. To be honest, I've never really registered much nicotine in cigars unless it's too strong. So I don't really get so much of a hit from it. But there is that. Obviously, you are getting some nicotine. Would be aspect one. Aspect two, as we've said, is just the pleasure of just the social pleasure, whether it's alone or in company, you know, where you're talking to people. And, you know, as you say, like, Especially when you get, like, base friends round, you know, and everyone lights up a cigar.
Speaking of base friends, hi there, AA. He says it's not about money, it's about priorities, which is true.
For those of us who can put priorities before money.
I mean, I have sometimes spent myself into bankruptcy because I saw a really good cigar in a shop, and it just I just was like, you know what, that means more to me than meeting that financial obligation. So I mean, yeah, there is that. It's about priorities. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think I could name three separate things. I would just refer back to you. I would refer you back to what I said just now. I fucking love smoking.
I love smoking.
Yeah. I just love smoking. I adore it. I could sit and do it all day. And I hope someday soon when I have the money, I probably will. Anyway,
what are your top three, Evan?
I mean, I would say one's got to be similar to yours. Not necessarily the chemical, but the sensation of actually, you know, deliberately breathing in, holding, enjoying the taste, and then slowly exhaling and enjoying the taste on the exhale. It feels like I'm eating food. It's like a meal. It's sustenance. My body's telling me that this is good and I should do it more. I suppose
especially
maybe
a Principe Corona.
Oh, that's
a meal.
Oh, the Principe Brown.
Mm. Yeah, that's a meal right there.
Well, one of those cake. One of those with a big stout cup of tea. Mm. Can't beat it. I mean, number two, I think maybe the technical parts of it. Getting to know how all the little different intricate
technical
bits of
smoking.
Pipe smoking or how a Peterson system pipe is different from a normal pipe and the different ways of stacking, or do you use plugs or rolls or shag, or is it more fine cut? I could sit and fascinate about those things all day. I don't know. I'll see if I can force a third one out of myself.
May I quickly intercede and do a quick blast against cigar wankery?
Yeah, sure.
And I'm not talking about the people paying hundreds of quid for a sort of mean premium cigar, though that is bad. I'm talking about there's a certain subculture where people want to start smoking cigars, so they kind of they think, well, it's a special thing, there's an art to it, so they look up all these different rules about, you have to do this, you have to do that, never smoke more than this, and I hate this compulsion of people who refuse to smoke the last third, or if you're a real Swiss wanker, the last half. Fuck Zeno Davidoff for that. So that's specifically.
I only smoke the first to third.
The man knew about cigars, but that's just being a complete cunt. And it's not elite. It's just being a fucking nouveau riche bourgeois wanker. I mean, don't do it. I was recently sat with a bunch of very spurgy, but based but spurgy young Americans who took their cigar autism far too seriously. Yeah. And I was just like, I got to the very fag end of this gorgeous, huge Romeo Julieta Churchill, which have only just recently been reintroduced in Britain. And I was right at the end of it, just fucking loving it. And one of them went, oh, you smoke past the third? And I literally turned and just went, I fucking love smoking. I'm not just going to stop.
If it's still
I'm just
smoking
gonna quit
well,
the third.
keep smoking it.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
yes, there are some cigars, both cheap and expensive, where past a certain point towards kind of where the wrapper, not the wrapper, sorry, where the brand label is, they do get a bit rough. They're not really pleasurable anymore. But, I mean, when it's something that good, I'm not just going to chuck it away so I can look more learned.
I hate that shit.
I don't know. I think there's almost a tendency with it, like some other subjects, for people to want to one-up one another. I recently introduced one of my friends.
Yeah,
to,
it's like wine or coffee wankery.
Yeah, to cigars sort of a couple of months ago, and he's kind of working his way in, and he's dabbling and trying different things, and he's found a few that he likes regularly and blah, blah, blah. But we're sitting on Friday, and as I normally always do, I always peel all the cardboard wrappers off for a start. The last thing I want to be doing when I'm smoking my cigar is get halfway down and realize that the outer skin's going to come off with a cardboard wrapper. I'm just very unhappy. But I take it off and he's, oh, well, that's there so you don't stain your fingers. It's like, do you think I really care?
Yeah.
Think I'm going to smoke this, decent-sized Robusto cigar for the next hour outside the back of this pub is like a big 6 foot tall tranny with a shiny pair of boots on. Do you think I care about some nicotine stains on my fingers? No, I do not.
Yes, Lewis Sean Moffat there, the £5, thank you, says, I smoked the cigar all the way to the nub, or as close as I can. Only look up how to smoke correctly with the inhale and so on. Yeah. It's really, don't inhale it. You gotta learn how to smoke a cigar, but really beyond that, the wankery, none of it's worth anything, really. Smoke them how you want.
Smoke your cigar. Smoke them if you got them.
Smoke them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think
it's like reading a book. Sorry to interrupt, but
yeah,
never ever smoke a cigar just to look cool or because you think it will make you look good. Smoke it because it's pleasurable. Smoke it because you love it. You know, just that should be your motivation. If there are some people who smoking just genuinely doesn't appeal to, and if that's you, don't do it for the, because you see some people who smoke and you can tell they don't really like it. Like, they'll leave the cigar without saying anything at, like, the halfway point. But it isn't, like, a wankery thing. It's just genuinely, you can tell they can't do it. Mm. They just can't, you know, if just smoke because you like it or don't smoke. There's no other reason to smoke.
Exactly. I think the only other thing that's not been mentioned about why I like smoking is that people don't like it. These days, if you, like, smoke in public, people, like, judge you.
Yes.
It pisses off Tony Blair.
But also, people think, because less people smoke visibly as well. So if you're smoking outside, I remember when I went to site and there was a little micro brew next door. So I got some of those. They were rotten, but I got some little Hamlets that weren't kept very well. And I just had quite a nice pint of stout after work and a little cigarillo. And people walking past, either judging me or being like, giving me the God, I wish that was me face, because I had a cigarillo and a pint on the go, which is always very funny. Apart from that, I'll just close out and say, Panama Hat, do you have anything to shill? We've got your links down below, but
nothing to shill. I think people know where my channel is, my Twitter and everything. Nothing really to report at the minute, but do keep watching. I do have a Ko-fi if people fancy buying a cigar. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it because it's going to cost way too much. But but if anyone is kind enough to do that, then I would appreciate it. So, or just a cup of coffee or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, that's such bollocks about the stains. Thank you there, AA. All I will say is that yes, we had our donation. Our donation stuff's down below. The Substack helps us out. The Ko-fi helps us out. Super chat, super tickets, all that stuff. You know, super thanks help us out. Interact with the video. I know it's kind of YouTube game playing, but you know, do actually like, comment if you want to. It does. It's the one of the few things you can actually do that doesn't cost anything. So yeah, I'd just say interact with it. Give us some Al Gore's rhythms. So this has been a quieter stream. I always suspected it would be, being a niche interest, as it were.
Yes, but we don't care about views because, no. Do you know what? We like smoking, and fuck you.
Yes, we do love the smoking. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We won't make this too much longer because we like to have more brevity. And quite honestly, I haven't had a thing to talk about. I think we've done quite a nice little round.
My head is full of phlegm and I am of no use to anyone.
Okay, guys, I guess that's all that's left for me to do is play the outro music and say goodnight.
Smoking is cool!
Yeah, good night, everyone. It's been wonderful to be here. Thank you.